Thanks for being here this evening. My name is Kevin Conover, and we're broadcasting on Educate for Life Radio on KPRZ 1210 AM down in Southern California. We're also on FM 106.1 in North County, and we've got a fantastic program this evening. Of course, you can pick up all our recordings all over the web on podcast educateforlife.org, and we're all over the internet and YouTube and all that good stuff. And my guest this evening is Dan Biddle. He's a PhD. He has a president. I'm sorry. He's the president of Genesis Apologetics. He has authored more than 9 books and quite a few articles on these topics. He's produced 3 films on Genesis and Noah's flood, and I believe this is the fourth. Ark and the Darkness comes out March 20th and 21st. That's this week in over 1,000 theaters. A little bit about Dan. His professional background includes undergraduate and graduate work in theology and apologetics. He was trained as a behavioral scientist. He has a PhD in industrial organizational psychology and 20 years experience in expert witness and consulting. Daniel and his wife, Jenny, live in Folsom, California, and they have 4 adult children. Dan, thanks so much for being on the program this evening.
Thanks for having me. This should be fun. I am always excited to hang out with you and talk with your folks. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're watching us on YouTube or live, you can see in Dan's background there's a gigantic broken down boat back there. Dan, tell us about that. What is that background picture there?
Yeah, so that is a scene extract from our movie, The Ark and the Darkness. You can go to noahsflood.com and see all the details about that movie. But that is kind of looks like it's about halfway through the Noah's Ark time lapse scene that we have. We have a scene that's a few minutes long in our movie that's never before been done. It's a time lapse of the construction of Noah's Ark. And we've modeled it after the ark at Answers in Genesis. So it's the AIG ark is about 510 feet long by 85 by 50 or so, I believe. And it's got certain shapes and features to it, some of which are artistic freedom, not necessarily, there's a little bit of room, a little bit of leeway in the Bible on how we can make the ark look. But we did choose to model it right after the ark that's used at the ark encounter by Answers in Genesis. So that looks like a clip right in the middle of our time lapse ark building scene.
Yeah, I like that. That's really cool. I don't think I've ever seen something quite like that with all the trees in the middle of the forest like that.
Yeah.
A lot of the scenes that I've seen are more it's like more spacious and everything. Why did you choose a forest like that? Was there a thought process behind that?
You know, this is entirely Ralph Strand's creative baby here. This was his work, but I did work with Ralph to make sure that the trees and the foliage and the basically the flora and the fauna were period correct, pre-flood, ancient earth or pre-deluge, however you want to put it. And the amount of pine tar or tree pitch, not necessarily from pine trees, but pitch that Noah had to use to cover that boat on the inside and outside would have been at an industrial scale. And so you imagine what those trees might have looked like. And of course, there's the famous mystery of God saying to Noah, build it out of gopher wood. And I have yet to meet the person who can really tell me what gopher wood is. So let's just imagine those are gopher wood trees back there. So we have no idea what they really were. Some people have speculated it might have been a spruce tree. That's certainly possible. It would have a lot possess the qualities for building a ship like that. But gosh, when God says you shall coat it inside and outside with pitch, he would need a lot of pitch for doing that. And of course, you can't use it in its raw form. It has to be boiled down, turn into a liquid hot state. Then you apply it, and it turns into like a fiberglass. But yeah, so that's a great imagination on Ralph's part on how to build that out.
You've spent a huge amount of time on, the flood and the ark, just over the history of your ministry and what you've been doing. Why do you have such a huge focus on the ark, producing other films on the flood and these sorts of things? Why for you is that such a big focus?
Man, thanks. That's a very pointed question, and I think the answer is I'll give you a very surgical, clean answer on that, and it's because it's what converted me. I was saved when I was 11, kind of straight until I was 17, came back to Christ. locked in, been following him ever since. Went to seminary in my later years. And at seminary, they said, look, if you want to really trust the Hebrew writers of the Bible, the 6 days are ordinary days, and the Genesis genealogies map back to Adam. That was just thousands of years ago. But if you guys believe in science, the earth has to be millions of years old. So you guys go figure it out. And that really started me in a place of cognitive dissonance, really understanding, well, how could the Bible say this and science say this? And I really didn't know about the history of Genesis. And so it was really a puzzling thing for me until about 12 years ago. I went to a talk with the guy who's currently the vice president of our ministry at our church, something about like man walked with dinosaurs. And I went to this talk just as a skeptic, going, I can't believe they let this guy in to talk here today at our church. He's going to talk about dinosaurs living recently. Well, we all know that they went extinct 65 million years ago. So I went to this talk, and about halfway through, I'm like, my gosh, this guy's onto something. And look, I'm an expert in the construction of evidence. That's what I did for 20 years as a testifying expert. I know what a good evidence docket looks like. That's not a boast. It's just like a carpenter saying he knows what a right angle looks like. That was my world for 20 years. And so I got so tailspun by this guy's talk. I took a 90-day hiatus. I bought thousands of dollars worth of books and DVDs on Noah's flood, geology, and dinosaurs. Those three things, and I hit them hard. I flew to Canada, I flew to Montana, and about halfway through that research process, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't become somewhat convinced of Noah's flood and the recency of Earth and creation. I became overwhelmingly convinced, like this has happened. And then I learned I had been completely duped by the narrative of the world. And so for me, it was like being born again, because I came to the realization that if Noah's flood is real and it happened recently, then you go back less than a couple thousand years and you hit the 6 days of creation. Well, why can't I swallow that one too? So it was a huge conversion experience for me. And that 18-inch gap between my mind and my heart snapped into alignment. And I didn't know it, but I was out of alignment for years, not really knowing how to trust God's word deeply. So every time I would hit those passages of scripture, and there's seven Bible writers that talk about the floods, I hit those passages or creation passages and just go skip, question mark, skip, 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 question mark, without knowing it. But now that I've gone through this conversion process, I read God's word and it has permission to leak deeply into my soul because I trust its words all the way back to the beginnings of scripture.
Amen. I just had a conversation with a gentleman just this past weekend over this very issue, and he was asking, how can I know that the Bible is reliable, and how do I know that it's inerrant and infallible, and he was addressing like Paul's writings and saying like, look, how do I know they're inspired? How do I know I can trust that? What about all the books that are left out? And when somebody really looks into the flood like you did and everything, how does that affect the rest of their view of God's word? You said it allowed it to leak into my soul. What was preventing that from taking place before you accepted the literal interpretation of, the flood and these sorts of things?
Yeah, it was a distrust of the interpretation of God's word, which parts are allegory, which parts are myth, which parts are a literal narrative. And but if Psalms 1 even starts out, this says, blessed is the man who believes and trusts in the Torah, the first five books, for he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, whose leaves are always green, and never fears in years of drought. And I was a droughted plant before I trusted in Genesis, because now I do trust, meditate, and believe on the Torah. And those early words of scripture are part of the construction of my faith. So a lot of what we call New Testament Christians today are like the squirrel that have spent their whole time out on a twig, on a part of a leaf, on the end of a big giant oak tree. And then eventually, what happened with me is I'm like, oh my gosh, well, this twig is attached to a branch. Well, let me go down the branch and find out what that's made of. Wow, that's interesting. Then, well, wait a second, this branch is a tran attached to a trunk. And then I go down the trunk. I'm like, wow, the trunk's got some roots. And then you go find what the roots are about. You're like, oh my gosh, there's a whole picture, a tapestry of scripture here that is only complete and only comes together as a mosaic if Genesis is real history. Look, Jesus referred back to the Old Testament 42 times, and every single time was a historical throwback. Never did he mythologize anything in the Old Testament. Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve, the Noah and the flood that took them all away. I mean, he regarded it as a history book. So when I did that, my roots exponentially increased their growth and went straight down deep. They weren't running into rocks of doubt.
I love that. I love that. That's such a great explanation for how our belief or lack of belief in the Bible makes the whole Bible become like a question mark. What you said about you're wrestling with whether certain portions are allegory or certain portions are actual history, that makes so much sense because if you take a portion of scripture on the flood and you say this is, metaphorical to some extent, and yet it speaks the way it speaks is narrative, then all of a sudden all the narrative portions become questionable. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. That amongst other things, but for me, it was a big issue because I'm a science-minded guy. I'm an analytical guy, and for years, I would go for bike rides around my area and see these big, huge cliff walls, 200 feet tall, full of ash and then rounded rocks and then ash. And I would just go, where does that fit in the biblical history? And I was just puzzled. But after I trusted in Genesis, it's almost like the Lord allowed me to discover, to take the cover off of something. And now I'm a much more grounded person because I'm not fighting with God and His word anymore. I just trust it. But for me, the key to taking this journey, there was one part I had to do because I credit God 100% for opening my eyes and my mind to the truth of Genesis. But the one part I had to do, the key to unlock that door to discovering that Genesis is real, is I had to come in with the humility of a child. I had to just punt on all my worldly understandings and say, Lord, I don't know what to believe. I've seen all these natural history museums. I've watched Nova and History Channel, and I've been conditioned by different classes in college and everything. But I'm just going to put that aside, and I'm going to trust your word like a child. Would you please give me the understanding? And it was after that that, metaphorically speaking, the Holy Spirit took me on a journey that included trips to Montana and Canada. And I've seen things you can't unsee, like at the Dinosaur Provincial Park up in Canada. As far as your eyes can see, it's a 14-mile expanse of dead centrosaurian dinosaurs buried with mammals, fish, and marine life. 14 miles of them buried under 50 feet of mud. And then you think,
Now, what
okay,
part of
well,
Canada is that in?
that's in the southern regions of Canada. It's called the Dinosaur Provincial Park. It's about a couple hours south of the Royal Tyrrell Museum, which is the largest dinosaur museum in the world. And there's
Wow.
just stuff there where you're like, how much higher did the water have to be to bury these dinosaurs and leave them under 50 feet of mud? And so you see that, and you're just like, okay, I'm going to trust this. In fact, we were at that location. We won't get too sidetracked by this, but fun, quick story. We were there. We're looking at this 30-foot hadrosaur that's right there in situ. They left it where they found it. It got plexiglass around it. Looks like a dinosaur mummy. We were out there. It was scorching hot. It's an outdoor museum display. So I was there with my daughter, Michaela, and this young man was there about 10 years old, and his dad. And the young man comes up and pushes play on the audio button so the mu museum could explain how this dinosaur supposedly got there. And the play says, well, millions of years ago, there was this dinosaur that booked up to a river, and there was a tropical storm brewing. So it tried to cross the river and tried to swim, and then it drowned. Then another one got up behind it. It tried to swim across, and then it drowned. And my daughter just had her epiphany wake up moment. She's like, Dad, that's ludicrous. I can't believe that. As far as my eyes can see, these things are buried under 50 feet of mud, but they're buried with fish and marine life and oysters and clams. There's no way some local little flood did this. And she went on for a few minutes, and I was getting kind of embarrassed because the dad whose son pushed the play on the museum exhibit, he was there the whole time, standing awkwardly between us. There's no one else around. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's gonna kill me for indoctrinating my daughter like this. But she has her epiphany wake up moment. We go back to the museum, she goes inside, and this guy comes out walking sideways toward me in the parking lot. It says, sir, can I speak to you a minute? I said, sure. I'm just expecting the lecture and want to fight it with the evolutionists, whatever it's going to be. And this guy blew me away. He said, look, I'm a licensed geologist, And years ago, I was a Christian. And when I went to my geology program and trained in uniformitarianism in millions of years, I dropped my faith. But he said, in 5 minutes, your daughter has completely convinced me that the biblical worldview is more accurate than what I currently believe. And I'm coming back to my faith. That was amazing. And this guy flipped in 5 minutes with
Wow.
the testimony of a child who looked at this stuff for the first time and says, "You've got to be kidding me. This can't be a local flood." So
That
it's
is what a fantastic story.
it's life transforming, isn't it?
Well, that just is so true. I mean, I have the same testimony is that when I first heard this information from a speaker at our church when I was a kid in high school, my mind was just going crazy. I was like, "What in the world? Why has nobody told me this before?" And I was like, I've got to tell everybody because this somebody needs to know about this. And that kind of lit a fire under me. And I'm so excited for what your movie's going to do because the amount of people that are you're going to reach. I was just talking to a friend of mine, and he said the theater's sold out, and where he's at, he can't even get a ticket. They're all sold out. So tell us a little bit more. The movie's coming out this week, March 20th and 21st. Tell us about how you got this in the theaters and what people can do to get tickets if there's any left.
Yeah, so that is a concern. Ticket sales are, we just got the report this morning, is 51,000 and growing, and there are a number of theaters that have sold out. However, if you just call your theater and say, "Look, it's sold out, can you add an additional showtime?" The theater near me, that's what they've done. They started with two showings, they added nine more, so now they're up to 11 showings and over those 2 days. So they will do that. If you just call the theater, they have no problem adding additional showings usually because they're authorized to show it on those 2 days, March 20th and 21st. But there is a lot of spillover, so we're requesting that people just go to noahsflood.com, sign up for our newsletter there, because I'm sworn to secrecy, but I can tell you that if ticket sales are strong, they will put on encore showings, and ticket sales have been strong. So you guys can figure it out, but we're driving everybody to the theater March 20th and 21st, but we're really hoping for some encore showings. And even after the encore showings, people will be able to buy tickets or buy DVDs and watch it on streaming platforms 30 days after, so April 21st and following. But I encourage people to go see this in the big on the big screen, really for just a 5 minute clip. The whole thing is great to see on a bigger screen, but don't get up out of your seat at minute 35 when the flood commencement scene happens. It is breathtaking. It is goosebump level breathtaking. Ralph Strenn is probably the best visual effects guy in the creation space, even beyond that. The work that he's done for that 3 minute scene is killer. So make sure you go see it in the theaters for that reason. And if you can't see the March 20th and 21st showing, hopefully it'll come back to the theater shortly after.
So that was another question I was going to ask you, because you've already made, some films on the flood, and there have been quite a few films made on the flood, and there's secular as well as Christian films made. What sets this movie apart? Why, somebody might think, well, I've already seen so many films about the flood. Why do I need to see another one? What would you say to somebody? What is the difference that this film brings to the big screen?
So this is a bold, but it's really an accurate statement, is that this is the most biblically accurate photorealistic work on Noah's flood ever to hit the theater in histories. And that's just true. That's just what it is. It's the way we framed it. We worked 2.5 years to do it. Ralph worked on this tirelessly for thousands of hours, literally over the last 2.5, 3 years to get this thing out. And we work with 11 of the leading experts on the flood from Answers in Genesis and Liberty University and other institutions. And we nailed it. We absolutely nailed what happened with Noah's flood. In the 1990s, a panel of six PhDs absolutely turned the key to unlock the true history with what happens with Noah's flood on catastrophic plate tectonics. They've got the mechanics down. They know how it happened. There's not a doubt in my mind that we have uncovered for the first time on big screen the mechanics behind how it happened. The Bible, of course, lays it out chronologically. It talks about what happened after 7 days, 40 days, 150 days, that Earth dried out. then it's got the whole narrative in there of the timeline. So we follow that to a T. In fact, Answers in Genesis gave us an endorsement on the flood content of this movie. And I don't know anybody else who's received that endorsement. Again, not a boast at all. It's just what we tried to do. I wouldn't have done it any other way. There were some things that we had to shorten and some corners that we had to cut, but not with respect to the biblical representation. We could have spent another 2 years just doing enhanced animations, but we really needed to get this film into the theaters. We felt, and we did, and so it's exciting in that way.
Yeah, that is fantastic. I think like you said, it the evidence for the flood really impacted you. I know it impacted me, and then you just told that story while it impacted people. And I have students
Yeah.
every year that when I share this information with them, they're just blown away. I mean, I had a kid just the other day say, "Oh, that changed my life." And
Yeah.
it's just amazing. And so you've been working with a lot of people over time. Besides the movie, what is Genesis Apologetics doing in order to impact people's lives in this way? What other educational opportunities are there for people to get involved with Genesis Apologetics?
Yeah, so the two things that set apart our ministry and make us unique is that we are student focused and we're free. We put out all of our stuff for free. Our books are downloadable. Our videos can be seen for free and everything. But we're trying to meet today's youth where they are on their phones 6.7 hours a day. And that's how a lot of people rely as a tool and as a medium for assembling their worldview and their knowledge network on how they see the world. So we put out all of our resources free. We've got over 21 million views on YouTube, I think 178,000 subscribers. Our ministry really specializes in putting out short, compelling videos, usually 5 to 15 minutes, on tough, relevant topic that all map back to Genesis 1 to 11. We love and work cooperatively with the bigger brick and mortar ministries like Answers in Genesis and ICR and the like. And they're also coming out with some great YouTube content and everything too. So that's really our emphasis is we've got a lot of materials. We've got our student zone for K through 8 graders. We've got our debunking evolution program for fifth to 10th graders. And we've got our debunking the seven myths program for 11th graders and up. And then we've got the rest of our content for everyone else. So that's a unique thing about our ministry.
Well, I think that's fantastic. So, if somebody wants to get involved with Genesis Apologetics, is there a way they can get involved with it? Do you how can they be involved in what you're doing? And if they have a passion for, ministering to people with the flood?
Absolutely. We work cooperatively with people who do training, like in museums. We're with the International Association for Creation to put trainers inside of secular history, like natural history museums, to go on there and do tours through museums from a biblical worldview. We could also use help from visual effects or visual artists folks. We have speakers that will take a lot of our material and go use it. People who want to distribute our books and things of that nature. So we're really a network of volunteers. We have one single employee on our staff who's paid. The rest of us are just volunteer. So we'll take as much help as we can get. And we also work with volunteers or contract out with people who attend conferences and hand out our books. But we give out everything for free. We'll go to church conferences with hundreds of pounds of books and just give them out. I think there's a sense of urgency that our ministry has because, look, in the state of California, for example, teenagers are not just getting exposed to evolution teaching, they're drowning in it. Before they graduate high school, they will have received 250 pages of evolution curriculum teaching, over 50 required classroom hours. So, at best, and this is not an exaggeration, at best, Christian students who attend public school are going to graduate as theistic evolutionists. And that has huge implications with how they view the character of God, the death before sin issue, and how they view others, even how they view race groups are tied back to their perspectives on origins. So there's a lot of dangers to the evolutionary ideas, and our ministry goes, straight after them with creation teaching.
Yeah, I had a student who one time came to me. He was at a public school, and he told me that when he went to do a re research paper, and they even gave him the option to do evolution versus creation. But then when he went to do the research, they told him you have to use our database. And their particular database had not a single procreation article. So it was almost as if he was forced into a position where he had to advocate for evolution, because those were the only, you couldn't write a paper that didn't have citations. And the only places he could cite were actually evolutionary, pro-evolution articles. So he couldn't go to, Genesis Apologetics or any other creation site. So that's absolutely true what you're saying.
And it's important. They have huge implications on how people view the world, their outlook, how they live their lives. Because look, the Bible has no authoritative place to be instructive or even a guidebook in our lives if it's a mythological tale. If it's not scientifically or historically credible or viable, people know that they can just pick and choose a la carte whatever theology they want from it and live their lives accordingly. So the Bible's going to be authoritative if it's based on real history. And so a lot of students nowadays are like, look, if I got to keep flipping pages of Genesis, just tell me when I run into the truth. Where does the truth start? And so we say it begins with page one, and it has big implications on how people live out their lives.
100%. I had a student who, again, another example, was a kid going to youth group, and he was at a public high school. He was learning evolution in the school. He'd be taught Genesis in the youth group, and then he said, "Wait a second, this is science. The evolution is science. This is just, the Bible. It's just a story." And he said he was walking away from Christianity. He ended up transferring to the Christian school that I teach at. I went through the whole creation thing with him, and he said, "Mr. Conover, you really saved my Christianity in a sense, because I saw how everything made sense scientifically, and I realized this wasn't just a story. I had just not been taught the other side, other than evolution. That's all I had to think was science." And so,
Gosh.
there's so many stories like that.
That story
So,
times
what is,
thousands. So yeah, it's a big deal.
yes, yeah. So what is, are you going to be producing more movies? Is your goal to produce, is that your vision to produce more movies like this? Or
You know
do you
the
have a vision?
and this again might scare or make some of your listeners uncomfortable, but I'm a very conservative, reformed believer. I believe in the Holy Spirit who works in them, but the Bible says that God lives in you and to live it to will and to act according to His good purpose. And coming from the business world, I had to really relinquish a lot of control coming into the ministry world. So I try to really let the Lord guide and direct our ministry. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, you're going to labor in vain. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to, grab this ministry and say, we're going to go here and do this. But so we do try to allow the Lord to direct and guide our ministry. So the next two things I have in queue would be we're working on a very well-researched piece on dragons and is substantiating the fact that the dragons that came from history and lore and all the different stories and accounts around the world, many of them were drawn from true accounts of dinosaurs that were living after the flood. And then after that, we're going to tackle the Nephilim topic in a very fair and balanced way. And so those are the two new things we feel very strongly to tackle. And then we'll see what happens there. So we do want to keep doing movies, maybe once every other year come out with a movie. So those will be long plays, but the short plays are the dragon video and addressing the Nephilim.
That's fantastic. So for those of you who are just tuning in, my guest today is Dan Biddle, Dr. Dan Biddle, and he's with Genesis Apologetics. If you're interested in checking out the film, you can go to noahsark.com. You can also go to genesisapologetics.com. And the movie is coming out this week. It's coming out March 20th and 21st in over 1,000 theaters, and it's a great opportunity to invite a friend. Right, it's a non-threatening environment. Take somebody to check it out who's a skeptic or hasn't really thought it through or is kind of in between or wherever they're at. It's a great opportunity to share the gospel. The gospel is presented in the movie too, Dan, is that correct?
Yes, our movie is probably 85% flood content, and then the last 15% would be sandwiched between a light pitch on end times and judgment, the theme of the judgment coming, as well as a gospel presentation. So yeah, that's how we close the movie down.
If somebody were to, you've got 50 questions on your website, the 50 questions, most common questions. I think that's a great resource for people just to be able to look at that and get quick answers to
Yeah.
very common questions that have to do with, when people say, how is the flood scientifically plausible? What for you is one of the favorites to talk about? Or let's say you had a 5-minute presentation and somebody said, give me the best evidence there is for the flood. What would you decide to talk about to share with somebody?
That's easy. when I was working as an expert witness, you had maybe 15 minutes to go up there and present your case. And so the attorneys would always reduce the evidence to what's called salient points or the fatal flaws of the other side. And I can make a very profound but correct statement here on your show today that if we were to just go back 50 years to the 1970s, it is a correct statement to say that the consensus view in secular paleontology that 100% of secular trained paleontologists would say yes to this statement. Dinosaur bones are fossilized impressions of what used to be bone, but they're 100% permineralized rock. That was the predominant view 50 years ago. Everybody thought it. You go to science textbooks, you go to lectures, you go to lecture notes, you go to dinosaur museums. That was the view pitched 50 years ago. But did you know that now in 2024, zero of 100 paleontologists can make that statement? Because since the 1970s, there's been over 100 peer-reviewed scientific journals in scientific literature, not creationist literature, that have substantiated 16 different types of bioorganic tissues found in dinosaur bones through all layers, Triassic, Jurassic, Cretaceous. And this stuff can't be contamination. It's not an artifact. These are real bones. And inside the real bones are real tissues like FECs, histones, proteins, red blood cells, blood vessels, osteocytes, collagen, all these things there's no way can be millions of years old. And so the secular community is still reeling, trying to find rescuing devices with that, and they've come up for with a few of them. But when you step back and look at this, like, oh my gosh, are you telling me there's been a 180-degree flip in what paleontologists can say about dinosaur bones? 50 years ago, they're all hardened rocks that used to be bones, and now they're bones that have soft tissues. Like, come on. It perfectly fits our worldview. It perfectly fits our framework for the evidence because it's amazing that some of these bones are still as fresh as they are even after 4,500 years. And then the second thing would be the extent of the dinosaur record. If you look at just the Morrison Formation in the middle of America, I mean, did you know that one-fifth of America, 20%, is made up of this thing called the Morrison Formation, Jurassic layers? It's a 300-foot thick mud pancake that spreads out over 600,000 square miles, 13 interconnected states, and it's stuffed with dead dinosaurs. And they're mixed with marine life. How do you do that? How do you bury 13 states of dead dinosaurs mixed with fish and not have a worldwide flood?
With a
And
small
it's,
flood, right? With a little river that
with a
overflowed.
little river that overflowed. So that for me would be the coffee talk conversation about in 5 minutes you can cover, well, dinosaurs provide evidence for the flood in both a small microscopic perspective and a large broad perspective.
That's fantastic. So what kind of so did you have any pre-release showings or anything like that for people, or is this all just coming out March 20th and 21st?
We did. We were really blessed. The Fathom allowed us to have two pre-screenings. One was done at a local Christian school. So we got to show it to about 400 high school students and maybe 150 middle schoolers. They took it over very well. They even saw a pre-release version where the sound wasn't mastered. We didn't have 60 of the B-roll footages in there, but they really seemed to enjoy it. But I can also say their perception was that it's heavy. It's a heavy movie. It's an intense movie, but it's extremely watchable because the brilliance of our producer and director, Ralph Strim, what he does is he'll take you right up to the edge of your seat with talking heads experts where you say, oh my gosh, I'm gonna tap out, I can't stand this anymore. I'm gonna kids are
Yeah.
gonna be going for their Instagram account. Then wait a second, right when you can't bear anymore, woo, there's a flying pterodactyl on the screen that goes for a minute, you know. So if you can track the attention span, he knows how to weave it together, because we've got about one third talking experts on this movie, then about one third high quality CGI, and one third what we call a lab room, where people are taking it to this visually rich environment while the narrator goes over some concepts and everything. So it was neat doing that pre-screening. And then we have an annual Genesis conference that we had about 700 people sign up for this year, and they all got to see a pre-screening of the movie too, and really good feedback. I've been very impressed with the feedback. But my own take of the movie is that it is intense, and it does take a strong stance on young Earth. And I understand that a lot of people, particularly in California, they're not ready for that. They might get turned off by that or whatever. But look, the neat thing about the flood, and why I found it so instrumental in my life, is it will force that issue on someone. If you go local flood, there's certain things you have to exclude and blacklist out from scripture, and certain things that you just can't trust from scripture. But the thing that did it for me is when you look at the line, the descending lifespans of people who lived an average of 912 years before the flood, and then Shem lived 600 years, and then Peleg 239, then Abraham 175, and then Moses 120. There's an exponential power law curve that declines along a very predictable slope that scientists would call a biological decay curve. So if you just grab that line, it's evidence that connects the very characters, the lead, patriarchs in scripture that go back to the people who lived before the flood. Because you can't have all these lifespans without those guys being connected to the people who were living longer. And it's amazing proof. And so for me, it's a scientific verification of a young Earth narrative of the Bible. So you really can't go two ways with the movie. So we do take a, we box the movie in that framework. And I understand that a lot of Christians are still on a truth journey. They've got progressive creation and gap theory and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of different views. And but for us, it was very, we're all convicted of the young Earth time frame, so we do hold to that perspective. But some viewers are gonna get turned off by that, and so we approach that with grace. Everyone's on their truth walk. I can't convince someone of those things. I think those of us who are saved, the Spirit will lead you into truth, but you have to be humble and willing to follow that journey.
Absolutely. That's great. I love it. I mean, that's my favorite thing about it. I love sitting down. I went to a Darwinian evolution seminar just for fun, just because I wanted to go sit and see what if there was some people saying something I wasn't aware of. And I just said right up front, "Hey everybody, I just want you to know I'm a young earth creationist, and
Wow.
I'm here to just chat if anybody wants to chat, and I'm here to learn what you have to say." And all their mouths just dropped to the ground. They were like, "What are you
Wow.
doing? What are you doing
What
here?"
are you doing? I can't believe this.
Yeah.
I know.
One lady goes, "You're very brave coming here." And I was like, "Should I fear? Should I be afraid for my life? Like what?"
I know.
But what I love about it is there were people there that just they wanted to know. They were so interested. They had never talked to somebody. And I think a lot of people, for a lot of people, they just don't even know. They don't even know that the scientific evidence is there. And so they've never even had a shot at actually evaluating the information and making an informed decision. And so that's what you're really giving people an opportunity to do is hear a clear, concise case for the truth of the Bible. So I think it's amazing.
And the other thing with that is, I think it's important, at least from my perspective, that we approach it with humility. Because I went through a downtime a couple of years ago, got rocked by COVID, and my brother passed away. A lot of things happened like right before this film, the film idea kind of came to us. And it's in that state of being down and humble. This is completely metaphorical, but it's as if God and I had a conversation where the Lord was ushering me to say, "Hey son, why are you young Earth creationists? Is it because you're smart? No. Is it because you like evidence? No. How about because I gifted you with that understanding? Because faith is a gift from God." And I went through a huge transformation because I used to have a little crass view towards old Earth creations, like, oh my gosh, look at those compromisers. Can't believe that. Look at that. They're caving in on God's word and taking those positions. But then I realized, wow, I've received a gift to believe, but for the grace of God, I would believe all kinds of different things. But I have absolutely no doubt that young Earthism, I guess if you will, is true. I'd have a scrap of doubt, and I know it to be true. And but that was a gift from the Lord to take me on that journey up to Montana and Canada. So it was a realization. And so now I hold it over no one. I said, look, your walk with Christ and truth is between you and the Holy Spirit. I'm happy to help. Please look at our resource and everything else. But I'm not going to get in some fist-shaking, angry argument with people about the age of the earth and everything, especially in California. You'll be iced. You won't even have a platform to talk. And
That's
so
true.
we vigorously hold to that position, but we understand gracefully and with mercy that people are on their own journey and they can't be talked into it unless they're ripe and ready for it. And I believe theologically it takes God to know God. And our ministry is more about equipping believers than it is about flipping and converting skeptics. Because first, I think you need to have a regenerate spirit. It's 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers so they cannot see the truth of the gospel. So until that's done, until the spirit's regenerate, they're going to remain under the lie. They're going to remain in darkness. And so when the Holy Spirit regenerates someone, then they'll be able to see the truth. And because they're so steeped in the world's ideas, they're not going to get saved the next day, go, now I'm a young earth creationist. It's a journey, and I want to help people through that lovingly because it was through a gift of God that I'm able to see the truth about Scripture. So.
Thanks for sharing that, Dan. That's a wonderful message, and I think that's absolutely the truth, is that the Bible tells us to be always seasoned with grace, truth seasoned with grace, and we're to be humble and with gentleness and respect, right? So
Yeah, amen.
That ultimately is what wins people's hearts is the love of God and his kindness.
So
So,
true.
for those of you who got to tune in this evening, Dr. Dan Biddle, noahsflood.com and genesisapologetics.com. Keep an eye out. Look up your local movie theater. You can find it. The Ark and the Darkness, March 20th and 21st. That's this week. And if your theater doesn't have it, give them a call and ask them to start showing it. It's a wonderful opportunity, a great thing to do with you and your friends. And I think it'll be a huge blessing to everyone. And Dan,
It
I
will.
am really excited. Thank you for all the hard work you put into this and just doing your best to be obedient to the Lord's call on what you're supposed to do. So that's a
Thank
big
you.
blessing.
You too, brother. I have been following your ministry for a while and you did great work. So, are you still in California?
I'm down here in San
Okay.
Diego. I'm
We're
out. I'm
one of
still
the
a Christian
holdouts,
guy.
huh?
Still.
Okay, that's
Yeah,
great.
exactly.
Yeah.
So thanks again, and I look forward to seeing the movie myself, Dan. So
Great.
we'll have to catch up again in the future when you come out with another movie.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, guys. It's been great. Thanks for having me.
Okay, God bless you. Have a great
God
night.
bless. All right, you
Thanks
too.
again for those of you who tuned in. EducateForLife.org is my website. You can check out all the classes and stuff I have available up there. All great stuff for homeschooling, co-ops, Bible studies. Fantastic way to strengthen your walk with God and see more of the evidence for the truth of God's word. We'll be back again in the upcoming weeks. We've got a whole bunch of amazing shows lined up, including two doctors that were not Christians. They were atheists. Two doctors, they stumbled into a church service kind of through their persuasion of their kids. And they ended up coming to Christ and now are missionaries abroad and love telling people about Jesus and how he changed their hearts and showed the evidence for the truth of the Bible. So that's going to be really exciting too. We'll see you guys next time. Have a great evening and God bless you very much.